Good. So I haven't got a copy of the questions. Could you read the first question out, Jason?
First question. Once you've got a renunciation, and then the gate is packed, is any mind you then have necessarily a likewise, once you've got a cheater and it's a great vehicle pack, is any mind you have necessarily packed?
What's your answer to that then, Mark? Or the mind of renunciation, even. You can fall back from that if you're a hearer.
Yeah, I think so.
If it's still possible to be born in lower realms, up until the patients on the public preparation, presumably, but an animal would score, they can't have renunciation.
Yeah, so that's somebody who's fallen out of the path. So that's possible on the lower levels.
So some mind has to take them out of the path.
So that mind with which they gave up and said, I'm going for the delights of psychic existence, that wouldn't be a path, would it? The mind that caused them to leave the path. Well, I suppose that's one answer you could give. But what about somebody who's still on the path? They don't sort of make some catastrophe and go drop out, but they keep on going on the path. Is there every mind an instance of the path? Example? When the mind is making a cup of tea. Thought it was your hands. Thought you made a cup of tea with your hands, Jeff. So when you're actually practicing the perfections, like going out and getting your hands dirty, you're not on the path then. You're only on the path when you're in a still quiet space of meditation, whether you're meditating on generosity or emptiness or something. Well, are you on the path or not? You know, when somebody's going out, you know, whether they could even be getting paid for it, you know, they're going to do work which is beneficial to others, but let's say they're not getting paid for it, they're doing it really out of a genuine wish of cherishing others, and that they're doing something for others, that would be generosity or joyous effort or something. Wouldn't that be that could be a practice of the perfections, but that wouldn't count as a path according to you?
No, I'm not saying
that. Hedging your bets now, hedging your bets. Hedging your bets. Hedging. Yeah, so if somebody's doing some active work where they are getting their hands dirty, you know, they're digging somebody else's garden or somewhere, you're carrying their bag, as Jan loves to do. Or they're making a cup of tea, so we've got these varieties. Some are actually actively, you know, working for the benefit of others. Sorry. What do you say to that then, Bet Hedger? Yeah, held by, that's what it says, isn't it? Held by renunciation, held by the thought of, you know, giving up on the world, wishing to forsake the world. Well, this is a different word, simpa, it says held, it's like sustained by or something. It's not like in accordance with, but yeah, it's kind of in accordance with, isn't it? You know, with the thought of. I mean, obviously can't be in the forefront of your mind. If you're, you know, fixing somebody's back door for them, you're looking at, you know, you're watching what your hand's doing and trying to fix the screws in the door or something, but it's held by, it could be held by a thought of renunciation, couldn't it? That's the way you go about your work, isn't it, Mark? Held by a thought of renunciation when you're doing your building. Yeah, but some work you do voluntarily, you know, you help people shifting their tatsas up to land of joy and stuff like that, you know. But I think Chöla's got a point there. You know, even a work which is not sitting on your cushion, you're actually, you know, doing something practical, it can still be held by a thought of renunciation. But then wouldn't it constitute a path? It says a clear realizer though, doesn't it? What's the definition again? Oh, well. Jetsumpa says exalted knower, which is maintained by a contrived determination to forsake the world, or clear realizer, which provides the opportunity to progress to enlightenment. What do you say to that, Anila? It's got to be a clear realizer. Exalted knower. What does that mean, exalted knower? But it's got to be sort of know an object. Yes, I wonder, because clear realizer, you know, when we talk about our awareness and knowledge classes, you know, which is also part of the basic program, so you should all have done something on that. And then it says realizer, which implies it's a mind realizing an object. So it's clearly, it's realizing it directly with direct perception, like I'm seeing color yellow, or it's realizing it through a correct sign. Things are impermanent because there are products, or something like that. But bodhicitta is not a realization. Bodhicitta is like just determination, isn't it? It's a wish. What are you actually realizing? I will become enlightened in order to be, you'll be used to the maximum number of sentient beings. We never used to call that a realizer. We said that's not a mind realizing an object. That's more like a, you know, a strong determination or a wish or aspiration. You don't have to be realizing anything. It's just like you are, you know, you're trying to make your mind into that object of being a wish. Mind, the wishing mind to achieve enlightenment. So it's not even a realization, strictly speaking. So, but it presumably is a clear realizer in terms of this definition. So, I want to say about that. But when you're making a cup of tea, you could be making it still with the wish. a manifest wish to help all sentient beings, couldn't you? It doesn't have to be like at this sort of held level, a sort of non-manifest level. You could actually be making the cup of tea with your mind thinking, yes, may all I'm doing today, you know, be helpful sentient beings. You know, may this cup of tea I'm going to drink, you know, having made this cup of tea, may it be, just give me strength to go along the path to full enlightenment. You know, you could be doing even a very mundane object, activity, still with a very high motivation, so it would count as virtuous action. Don't they say even people with vows, even people with monk's vows or nun's vows, the same with bodhicitta, that you accumulate merit even while you're sleeping because the vows are in your continuum. So you're collecting merit even though you're not actively thinking, I must not kill, I must not steal, I must not commit sexual misconduct or something. Because the vows are in your continuum, you are continuously collecting merit. Don't they say something like that? That sounds like a very Lama Zoparian way of talking about things. Isn't it? Yes. We've got somebody with a close follower of Lama Zoparian approaches. Oh, you're tackling his book, yes. You know, but that's exactly the sort of thing you say, isn't it? You know, somebody who's a bodhisattva, you know, even while they're cleaning their teeth or even while they're sleeping at night, they're collecting merit, you know. That's the power of bodhicitta. It's working. So even sort of actions were not deliberately designed to help others in a direct way, indirectly, they are still some sort of virtuous action. But whether that means they're a path or not, that's another question. Well, then we have the distinction between somebody who's thoroughly, you know, trained or, you know, on the higher stages and somebody who's just a beginner. So somebody like Lama Zopa, who is really like, you know, they probably never do go to sleep anyway, or even their sleep is like lucid dreaming or something, you know, so every moment they don't lose their connection to bodhicitta. So they're very 100% can be collecting merit nearly all of the time, I would have thought. But, you know, somebody who's just a beginner, yeah, sure, they can waver and they can have doubts, can't they? Like somebody who drops out of the bodhisattva path and says, oh, this is all too much for me, I'll go in for the just for the hero approach. So you can do that, but only up until, what is it, the middling path of accumulation. So you can't do it once you're on the path of preparation or path of seeing. You don't sort of drop out of the higher vehicle and move in and drop down to a lower vehicle. But I think you can move up from a lower vehicle to the bodhisattva vehicle. But as I say, for somebody wavering and having doubts, then that would be in the just at the beginning stages of the path of the great vehicle anyway. So, you know, having a negative action, having negative thoughts, and even perhaps doing negative action. Of course, you think it's possible. So that wouldn't be a pathway mind, but it wouldn't throw you off the path. You know, you have to actually give up bodhicitta, you know, or thoroughly break your bodhicitta, bodhisattva vows, to fall out of the path. So just some not quite so, you know, significant negative action. I should think it's possible. So. Well, that would have to be, wouldn't it? If it was definitely a non-virtuous action, that would definitely have to be an example where, yeah, so make that answer to that question no, false, or whatever. Don't you think? Example? Pardon?
Stupid compassion.
Yeah. Specific example? Yeah, he buys drink or drugs with it. But is that your, is that a neg, does that become a non-virtuous action by you? It's kind of up to him what he spends it on. Yeah, it is suffering for him, isn't it? More suffering, but that's kind of his choice in a way. Does that mean that your action was negative, even though you had a compassionate intention? But he went and... Yeah. Maybe, but that doesn't necessarily make it a negative action. Like we were saying yesterday, a negative action, maybe it needs a negative intention. It's not just that it turns out badly. But it actually, you have to have an afflicted mind, like, you know, anger or something. Wishing that person harm. For a fully qualified negative action anyway. You know, one that's becomes complete in all aspects, you know, the motivation, the actual doing of the action, and feeling satisfaction afterwards. Well, there's, you know, the grey areas, aren't there? So it's very difficult to say, but when you're practicing patience, no matter what the harm the person does to you, you try to not retaliate, don't you? So very pure kind of bodhisattva wouldn't try to use violence just because somebody was using violence against them, even though if they did use violence, they could overcome the violence that the other person was, you know, using against them. I don't know. Okay, you can stop somebody making problems, killing, and so forth. If you can do it without taking that person's life or without harming them, that would be preferable. But of course, we're talking about situations where, you know, you have to take up your gun and start shooting, aren't we? So you are actually killing, and then killing gets a bit indiscriminate, you know. So it's very difficult to say. And that's one thing that we've talked about. Isn't it? Like, you know, it's impossible to tell. Oh, we have, that was in Signs and Reasoning. It's impossible to tell the motivation of somebody you're dealing with if you're only on a sort of ordinary person's level of consciousness, you know. So difficult to tell even what the enemy's doing if they are. It's difficult to condemn your actions evil. You know, who knows where their mind is at, you know. They themselves might be bodhisattvas doing something which is for the good of the world. Even though it looks kind of on the surface a very sort of wicked and destructive action. We never know. So we have to make up your own mind about these things. That sounds pretty sensible. You know, all the other delusions trace back to attachment or aversion, don't they? And they in turn trace back to anger, ignorance. But you can generate bodhicitta with it before you've realized emptiness or before you've realized selflessness. So you can have a confusion. Well, there are two types of beings, those who develop bodhicitta before they realize emptiness, and those who realize emptiness before they develop bodhicitta. So it's definitely accepted that there are people who generate bodhicitta or also renunciation without having realized emptiness. You know? Yeah, so then you've still got some ignorance, or quite a lot of ignorance. But out of faith, you know, followers of faith rather than followers of Dharma, they say. Yeah, for these beginner types, I would have thought, yeah. So there is at least one example, then, of somebody who's... they've entered the path, but they manage to have minds which are not part of the path. Not actual pathway minds.
I was saying they are minority, and
well, there are shades of things, aren't there? There are shades. So I wouldn't like to be categorical about it. Can a person on the path of seeing do a negative action? Well, they say it's not until the eighth ground that you actually get rid of manifest delusions. You know, they call, once you get onto the path of seeing, you enter the bodhisattva grounds. So this is another kind of, you know, subject studied together with the paths, grounds and paths. So, we have a series of grounds then, so from the path of seeing up to through the path of meditation until you enter the path of no more learning when you're a Buddha. So that section of the path where you're sort of beyond the mundane, you know, the mundane levels of the path of accumulation, path of preparation. But when you see emptiness directly, so then you are on the sort of supramundane paths, so those paths, seeing and meditation get divided up into the 10 grounds. So you ascend through the bodhisattva grounds. And it's only the, out of 10, it's only the last 3 that are the pure grounds. And they're called the pure grounds because you have no more manifest afflictions. So that must mean on the first 7 grounds then, you can have manifest afflictions. That you have no more manifest afflictions. You still have afflictions, but they're all just at the seed level. They never flare up into an actual manifest moment of anger or attachment or whatever. So it sounds like below that you can have at least manifest anger or manifest some kind of afflictions. But whether that would go too so far as to actually get you to commit a negative action, I don't know. That's a bit difficult to say, isn't it? You know, because just a moment of anger can make you, like, whack a mosquito that's trying to irritate your skin or something, you know? So you could very quickly do a negative action, a very simple kind, even with a moment of anger. So I don't know what to say. So, pardon?
I would have thought it quite difficult to do a negative action once you've realized.
Emptiness directly? Yeah. Yeah, but then when you arise from your non-dual meditation, then everything appears to you just in the same dualistic way. So those appearances are quite strong, so you don't just get rid of them by seeing emptiness directly. So those appearances are there, so sometimes you might be tempted to ascend to them. But if you've realized emptiness directly, it must be very difficult to fool by those appearances into, you know, that kind of reaction you're talking about. So, yeah, so there's a... Once you go into these things, there's lots of questions you can ask. But it's good to ponder on those difficulties, because at least the more straightforward parts of the kind of presentation become a bit clearer. even to remain these tricky points. Anyway, what was the next question? So if it is one of these paths that we're talking about, Hearer's path, solitary realized path, or bodhisattva path. What do you think about that? Any exceptions? What would you posit? Yeah, but well, the original definition of path as a whole, so not dividing it up into different vehicles, clear realizer which provides the opportunity to progress to enlightenment, is the definition of liberation path. And we said underneath, you know, liberation, nirvana, and enlightenment. Here we take as equivalent. You know, you can talk about, you know, here a nirvana, solely to realize a nirvana, a Buddha's nirvana. You see. So that's, you think of liberation very general. Liberation path is any of the. Yeah. Yeah, we tend to think of that like liberation means personal liberation. Nirvana maybe means personal nirvana. If you're talking about Buddhism, you talk about enlightenment or Buddhahood. But, you know, in these, that's a specific statement by Kedrubji, I think, that one. That in these definitions and so on that I'm giving, think of those enlightenment, liberation, and nirvana all applying to all the three results. Whichever the vehicles. Well, they haven't. They're not held by renunciation, are they? They just want a good time in cyclic existence. Yeah, but like if you haven't got, like we said, if you haven't got renunciation or bodhicitta, then your good deed is just as likely to ripen up, and it just ripens up in samsara as having lots of whatever, good time, good happiness of samsara. Because you're only a lowest cut being, so you're not thinking of nirvana, you're just thinking, oh, maybe in this life, oh, if I could only be born as a god and, you know, Shiva's entourage, or if I can be born in a pure land, or whatever they wish for, I could be born as a whatever, a rich person or something. So why should that be a liberation path? The mind isn't set on liberation, is it? I was saying sleep is temporary death, isn't it? Yeah. So, yes, because they go to their own liberation. Well, the Bodhisattva learns the path of the hearers in order to teach them. So they think it's a valid thing to do, to teach somebody who's not got the, you know, heroic resolve to be a Bodhisattva. It's legitimate and proper and, you know, good dharma activity to show them the way to individual nirvana. So that's why they know our paths. They don't just know their own path, but they know the paths of the other people, like who are going to their own liberation. So I think Kedrup Jay, you have to take that as, you know, he's talking about all of the three vehicles there. Clear realizer, which provides the opportunity to progress to enlightenment, is the definition of liberation path. If you want the definition of great vehicle path or great vehicle, then he'll give it you. I haven't put it down there, but there is one. So it's not like Mahayana liberation is the only liberation. So these three are genuine Dharma paths, out, away from samsara. But if you're on a path, a liberation path, which is leading you out of samsara, is it necessarily a hearer, solitary realizer, or bodhisattva path? What do you say, chaps? Yes? Well, isn't the nirvana that a hero reaches, isn't that liberation? But as we said in the small letters underneath, here, enlightenment, liberation, nirvana are equivalent. And each have three grades. So it is legitimate to talk about a hearer's enlightenment, solitary realized enlightenment, and Buddha's enlightenment. So that's Kedrup Jay making that clear. The excuses that some people come up with. Oh, it's only a temporary one. Sorry, I'm joking. Pardon? So am I. Don't worry. If bodhicitta is a clear realizer, it can't mean that there has to be a mind which actually does realize this object in the sense we read about it in awareness and knowledge. You know, an object that is actually a mind that is actually removing superimpositions and seeing the object. You know, in a kind of like a valid way, you know, because, you know, they don't think of bodhicitta like that, or the mind of renunciation. It's just like a strong resolve. So they don't say it's realizing anything. It's like when I wish to go to town, I'm not realizing anything, I'm just wishing. That's not kind of the same as discriminating an object out and realizing it in a sort of way that they mean when they talk about realizing it. Would what include? Clear realizer? Yes, subsequent attainment. If you go further down the document, you find that subsequent attainment is all part of the path, yeah? Yeah. So, clear realizer, it seems a bit narrow, doesn't it, for some of these kind of minds that would be going on the time of subsequent attainment. You know, you are in the subsequent attainment time, you're performing the other perfections, you know, the perfection of wisdom. That can be the, you know, meditative equipoise that actually clears away your afflictions or your obscurations. So then you proceed to the next ground through having cleared away a certain level of obstructions, you know. So that would be like the realization. But then when you're performing the other five perfections, so on. And certainly perfections like generosity or patience, where it involves you very much in how you're behaving with others. It's not like you're realizing something all the time, is it? you're just sort of, you know, trying to deal with somebody else's bad behaviour, and, you know, trying to be patient, and trying to, you know, work with other people's difficulties. However, yeah, so it's not not quite so clear cut, is it? But anyway, is there something which is a liberation path, but not hearer's path, solitary realized path, or a bodhisattva path? And did I make a note underneath saying that the way you have to think about the last two is about people who change vehicles? Does that come on the paper? So what about this one then? The subject, the path of no more learning, in the continuum of a hearer, foe, destroyer, the path of no more learning in the continuum of somebody who's gone from being a hearer, foe, destroyer, and is now abiding on the Mahayana path of accumulation. Well, that could be a path which is not a path of a hearer, it's not the path of a solitary realizer, and it's not the path of a bodhisattva, but it is a liberation path. Well, if it was a path of no more learning, and is, what is, it's not a Mahayana path, did you say? Why is it not a Mahayana path? Well, if it was a bodhisattva's path, and if it was a common locus of being a bodhisattva path and a path of no more learning, then it'd be a Buddha, right? So it is a path of no more learning, because it's a path of no more learning, because it's a path that he achieved when he was a hearer. He achieved the hearer's state of no more learning. He went to hear his liberation as a foe destroyer. Right? But then he's awoken from his, or he's managed to drag himself out of his, you know, solitary liberation. Somebody's gonna come along and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Look, you can do better than this. Now's your time, you know. Your karma's ripened, I'm here to help you. Join the Mahayana path." So that happens, they say, you know. Everybody eventually becomes Buddha in this system. So the hero foe destroyer is not actually a final state. Who example? No, but he is a bodhisattva. Yeah, he's generated bodhisattva and it's not degenerated. So why isn't he's a bodhisattva? Is on the Mahayana path? His path of accumulation. So he's on the Mahayana path of accumulation. No. He's got to do all the. He's got to go all the way through. He became a hearer. You know, he got rid of all his obscurations to afflictions, but he's still got the obscurations to omniscience. So he's not near Buddhahood yet. No, I didn't call him a hearer. I said to somebody who, consider this, the path of no more learning in the continuum of somebody who's gone from being a hearer, foe, destroyer, and is now abiding on the Mahayana path of accumulation. Isn't it? It's dissolved. So the path of no more learning, it's slipped back from it then? It's degenerated from the path of no more learning?
It's just
he's got back his afflictions, have come back again? Because he's become a bodhisattva? Is there a path of no more learning in his continuum? Finished. So consider it with that path of no more learning. Is it a hearer's path of no more learning? Oh, so it's not a hearer's path of no more learning. It's not a hearer's path of no more learning because... So you think both, so you think that path of no more learning itself is a path of accumulation? Yeah. That's not how I was looking at it. I was thinking there were two separate ones, yeah? He has a hearer's path of, you wouldn't say a hearer's path of no more learning anymore. If there's a hearer's path of no more learning, he should be a hearer. But he's not a hearer, because he's a bodhisattva. But his path of no more learning hasn't degenerated. So it is a path of no more learning, but it's not a hearer's path of no more learning. So then you're agreeing with me. But you seem to be veering where I wasn't. You were saying, oh, that path of no more learning is the path of accumulation.
No.
But. Well, you know, that's, you have to be careful. Can this person have two paths simultaneously, side by side or something? Well, I'm wondering. I'm not well versed enough to just say. Yeah, well, that's what I'm going for, but I'm not saying that's truth. I'm just saying that I'm putting forward that as a debating, because somebody might be able to knock it down. But we see what you see what I'm saying. They've gone to the end of the hearer's path, so they're on the path of no more learning as a hearer. But then they decide to become a bodhisattva, so they generate bodhicitta. They enter the path of no more learning, the path of accumulation of bodhisattva. So if they're a bodhisattva, they can't be a hearer. But then... Yeah, but we're not... This guy isn't having second thoughts. He wants to be a bodhisattva. He's not going to fall off. And maybe he's towards the end of the path of accumulation. So he's definite now in the... Bodhisattva lineage, great vehicle lineage, but hasn't he got a path of no more learning still? Because he hasn't, he hasn't sort of started to have afflictions again. He's got rid of those for good, so he's still got a path of no more learning. Yes, but if they're a bodhisattva from the beginning, definition of the bodhisattva lineage from the beginning, they meditate along the bodhisattva path, and then they eliminate the afflictions, the obscurations of the afflictions, and the obscurations to omniscience simultaneously. Right at the last moment before Buddhahood, in this presentation of this Yogacara Majjhimaka. Yeah. So if you're a bodhisattva from the beginning, just following one path, you don't actually get rid of all your afflictions, obscurations of the afflictions, until you reach, Buddhahood. So you'd be getting rid of your obscurations of the afflictions, obscurations of knowledge, simultaneously. So yes, they're studying the hearer path, but they don't reach the hearer's path of no more learning you know, and then, you know, then get rid of their obscurations to omniscience. But if you're somebody who's already been to the end of the hearer's path, then you come into the bodhisattva path. Wouldn't it be wrong to say that path of no more learning is a hearer's path? The path of no more learning, when they first achieved it, they were hearers, you know, that was their vehicle. But now they're bodhisattvas. So if the person is a bodhisattva, then any path in his continuum couldn't be a hearer's path. That was my idea. I don't know if that's right. Yes. Hearer's path of no more learning. Yeah, so why is it a hearer's path of no more learning? Yeah, so why would it be a hearer's path of no more learning? What would make it a hearer's path? So you can be a hearer, you can be a bodhisattva, but you can have a hearer's path within in your continuum. Mm. So to be, have a hearer's path in your continuum, you don't have to be a hearer. Mm. Where I was thinking of the other way around, once you are no longer a hearer, you couldn't have a hearer's path anymore. So I was looking at it that way. Wait a minute, just going to hold you back for a second. So I'm just looking up the definition. There's a hearer's path of no more learning should be in here somewhere. So that's what I'm looking for. But when you're looking for it, you can't find it. Well, it's the definition of a hearer's path of no more learning is the path of a hearer which has completed the training of his own vehicle, which is actually on the paper, that. That's if you, I've given you that one. Or have I? Maybe not. Yeah, path of no more learning. Hearer path which has completed the training of his own system is the definition of hearer's path of no more learning. So you think that is a hearer's path, even though it's in a bodhisattva's continuum? Well, he has reached nirvana. He has. It is a path of no more learning. He has experienced nirvana. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
So this person is on the Bodhisattva path. He's striving for, now he's striving for the enlightenment of a Bodhisattva, which is Buddhahood, of course. So he wants to reach that path of no more learning. But when the hearer completes his own, or her own, you know, training, the hearer's training, then they talk about that person having reached the hearer's path of no more learning. So we're saying this person's reached the hearer's path of no more learning, not that they've reached the path of no more learning of a Buddha. Then they decide that they can do better than that. So then they come into the Mahayana path. So that's supposed to happen, you know. So everybody joins the Mahayana path eventually. So we'll leave that one open because what time are we having a tea break? I think we're overdue for one, aren't we? So we've left another question for another time, but that question, the third question, is actually answered in Kedrup Jay's book, so we perhaps get a definite answer on that, and it might help us with the second question, but slowly, we're don't have to be grasping after this knowledge, but just opening the subject up and seeing how there are these different ways of progressing, so we're making progress. Okay, cup of tea then. 20-minute break, then we can have... then we've got to do our resounding. After tea break, we're reciting the scripture, yeah? Get ready for that. That you do on your own. That you do at home. Yeah. If you've got any. Yes, please. Just when the debate's hotting up, you're good. Well, it's good you could make it. One more weekend in November. And then...